Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic, multifamily maintenance professionals, common misconceptions. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a fantastic industry educator, and a national speaker, Chris Carmonica, Director of Facilities with Wynn Residential. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you for having me today, Paul.
You know, Chris, I've heard you speak over the last few years at the Apartmentalized Conference. There's a lot going on in the industry with a lot of things, but certainly with the maintenance side of the multifamily industry, it seems to be the position on site that has the greatest turnover, as well as is the most difficult in many cases to find someone to fill those positions. But let's talk about misconceptions before we talk about that issue. Tell me about some of the misconceptions, the common misconceptions that are out there about maintenance personnel.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. So being in the industry for a little over 13 years now and being in a maintenance role prior to entering the multifamily industry, you know, I've always heard misconceptions about maintenance professionals. I hear it at company meetings. I hear it at company events and national events. And, you know, it just kind of got to me. So, you know, when I was invited to come today, I decided to, you know, really dig into it a little bit. And some of the things that I hear quite regularly is, you know, the maintenance teams aren't paid enough. On Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, it's one of those constant things that you hear maintenance professionals and even operations professionals, you know, mentioning that maintenance teams aren't paid enough. We'll get back to that one in a little bit. But, you know, the other one is that the labor force isn't skilled. And I think that's absolutely a true misconception, but there's a lot of causes for that. The other one is no one wants to work, and I think that that is something that we're hearing much more now coming in, coming out of COVID, with the Great Resignation and all of the news stories about people leaving their jobs after years or trying to find themselves and going to something different. You know, and lastly, that maintenance professionals do not know or they're adverse to using new technologies like computers or cell phones to complete work orders or submit orders. And I just feel like a lot of these misconceptions aren't true, but they've become so part of the conversation that they've now become stereotypes of maintenance professionals. Looking at not paid enough, I think that there is some truth to that, but I also think that it is a common misconception. And then looking at labor force is not skilled. Yeah, we've been experiencing this long before COVID. The labor force not being skilled, we don't have the kind of focus in this country anymore on technical skills, on the trades. And it's not just the multifamily industry that's experiencing this. It's all trade industries. It's construction, you know, plumbing, HVAC. We're experiencing it everywhere. But because of our, you know, because of the multifamily industry and we're touching all of those trades, you know, the skills are really being lost by our on-site maintenance team members.
Tell me, I mean, you have a pretty good laundry list there of some of the misconceptions, but where do these misconceptions come from? They have to start somewhere.
Yeah, the first thing is really TV representation. You know, I think that when everybody thinks of a maintenance superintendent or a maintenance technician, you know, they immediately go back to, you know, Schneider from One Day at a Time. you know, and I, you know, I'm I did watch that show. Yeah. I'm not dating myself by saying that, but I think a more recent reference is maybe like Mr. Traeger from Friends. You know, the grumpy old superintendent that has to come up and, you know, fix a toilet or fix a lock on the door. And that's out there, and it's out there on TV, it's out there in movies, but there's also a really good representation. Mr. Miyagi from Karate Kid was the maintenance man. He was the superintendent, you know, of properties. So, but also there's other misconceptions out there on TVs and in commercials, you know, plumbers coming to the house and, you know, not knowing what they're doing and things like that. And vendors and contractors use that to, you know, spur business. You know, they're giving misrepresentations of their competitors so they can get the business. But that's what people see. You know, other areas is online reviews. When you go to an apartment community's website, people leave reviews. And they leave reviews on even for companies on sites like LinkedIn and Glassdoor. But most people that go online to submit reviews are submitting bad reviews. So you're missing the really good working professionals and the really good things that are happening out there. And then there's obviously the long-standing stereotypes of blue-collar workers in this country that dates back many, many decades. And I think all three of those things is where those representations come from. And it affects, you know, people coming into the workforce. It is a little daunting on the people that are currently maintenance professionals in our industry. And it's always in the back of our residents and our clients' minds of these stereotypical maintenance guys.
Well, when you think of the stereotypes of maintenance individuals, tradesmen who are portrayed in these television shows and movies and that we see, many times they're portrayed as being miserable at their job. So what do you think makes maintenance professionals miserable, if that's true at all?
Well, there is some truth to it, but I think you know, I think the best thing I can reference is a 2020 Swift Money survey index that they completed, and they said about 17% of the maintenance professionals that they surveyed say that their compensation for their job isn't fair. That's a pretty small number when you think about it. 17% of the maintenance professionals in this country that were surveyed thought that their compensation wasn't fair. But more interesting enough was 12% said they didn't feel heard, and another 11% said that they didn't feel recognized. These are the kind of things that people are experiencing at their, you know, at their sites, with their ownerships, with their companies, and these are the areas that make them miserable. You know, one of the common things we talk about is pay, and we talked about it, you know, just a couple minutes ago, but when engagement surveys are done by companies and we really dig into what makes people happy at work, what's part of their job satisfaction, pay is usually not even in the top five of the things that make people satisfied at work or make them engaged. There's also, you know, more recently, COVID fatigue. You know, the maintenance professionals were our frontline workers. They, throughout COVID, they were still handling emergencies. They were still upkeeping their sites. They were still taking out the trash and maintaining their grounds on a regular basis. And then as the COVID restrictions started to lift and company restrictions started to lift on what work could be done in and outside of units, really there was a backlog. There was an enormous backlog of work for our maintenance professionals. Because they had to get in and physically do this stuff that was deferred for so long. But the existing issues, you know, COVID aside, the existing issues with labor availability in our industry has been something that's been identified over the last decade. There we have a diminishing supply of labor professionals, maintenance professionals in this world right now. But the COVID fatigue has really kind of amped that up a little bit as we move into, you know, the remainder of the year. And lastly, I think one of the other reasons why maintenance professionals are miserable is they don't see really room for growth or advancement, either at their sites or within their companies. And I know many companies, my company included, has really started to build what are called career ladders. And, you know, looking at what the steps are for a maintenance professional to work from one of the lowest, you know, positions at a site, like a cleaner, to be trained up to become a specialized technician, to a maintenance superintendent, to a, you know, someday, hopefully, you know, a director of facilities, you know, at an organization like mine.
Well, we've got about a minute and a half left, and I wanted to ask you, because you brought up COVID, share with our listeners something that you believe made a big change in the way maintenance will be happening in the future as a result of having to go through COVID and learn different ways of doing things. What's the something out there that you think is going to be a permanent change?
Well, one of the permanent changes, I think, is how people are viewing how they handle their maintenance operations. Specifically, a topic that we regularly talk about with my peers is on-call. You know, on-call in our industry is in our leases, it's in our service guarantees. But I think that companies have really started to assess what is a true emergency and working with their teams and their residents to identify what true emergencies are. Especially after coming out of, you know, one of the biggest emergencies this world has ever seen, and really identifying one of the biggest hot buttons in the industry, which is on-call. How do we address it? How do we educate our residents? How do we educate our site teams to kind of diminish those one area that makes our maintenance professionals miserable is getting called out of at 3 a.m. for a clogged toilet when a resident has two other toilets. Sure. I personally have been on call, and I've gotten that call.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back with the next segment of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we are discussing the topic of multifamily maintenance professionals. Common misconceptions. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily veteran, a wonderful industry educator and national speaker, Chris Carmonica, Director of Facilities with Wynn Residential. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or simply listen to any episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Chris, in the first segment, we talked a lot about kind of what those misconceptions are, and some of the things that we talked about was pay and the job duties and job descriptions. And there's also competition out there, competition not only from other companies within the multifamily industry, but competition from other industries trying to secure employees for whatever they're doing and maybe construction and so forth. Talk a little bit about that and what you're seeing.
So, you know, when we talk about pay and the multifamily professionals, I like to look at it through a slightly different lens. I like to ask the question, you know, are they underpaid or are they undervalued? And I think that is probably the biggest area that we can move the needle in our industry is we undervalue in my opinion. We undervalue our maintenance team members for many reasons. And maybe that would add to their value at within the organization and make some of those, you know, underpay conversations go away if we valued them a little bit more. You know, a Kingsley survey from 2020 stated that, you know, employee engagement and maintenance professionals decreased on 10% on average over the last 2 years. That's twice of what it was for the average employee, so your regular operations employee. We're also showing that there are national statistics showing that across the board, engagement levels have dropped for the first time in a decade. I was just listening to this on the news yesterday. And I think that when we look at the value of an employee, we have to maintain that level of engagement. We have to keep them engaged. We have to find out, get to the heart of what they want. One of the things that I do with my team members that I work with is that I take the time when I go to a site to actually have a conversation with them, find out, you know, more about their family life. What did they do this weekend? I'm at a site visit today, actually, and was able to, you know, to have a great conversation with one of my maintenance supervisors about a great vacation that he went on down to Costa Rica. So we talked a little bit. But what I did in doing that is that, one, I showed the associate that I valued him. And I'm not doing it strategically. It's just part of, you know, my natural conversation with my team members. But he shows that I was listening. It shows that I was that I value him and his life. Plus, it also gives me an idea of what moves him. You know, that for that team member, family is very important for him. So if I can make his life easier at work so he can spend more time with his family, then I'm showing that, you know, and I'm showing value in him and his entire team at his site.
Well, I know that something that's big in the news, I've seen several stories recently about quiet quitting. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, this is a new one. It seems like it's a new buzzword. I mean, for a long time it was the COVID effect. We talked about the Great Resignation, but now we're seeing job numbers increase, right? So we're starting to see the unemployment numbers start to get back to pre-COVID levels. So the conversation has now shifted from the Great Resignation to quiet quitting. And quiet quitting is directly tied to what we were just talking about with associate engagement and people feeling undervalued. So the idea of quiet quitting is an employee is still showing up. They are doing their 8 hours, but they're not going above and beyond. They are not taking the extra step. They are referencing things like their job description. Well, that's not in my job description, you know, or they're saying, you know, we really need to hire a vendor for that, you know, repair because, you know, it's just not something that I typically would do. So I've started to experience that slightly. And I've talked to some other industry professionals that I work with, and we're starting to see signs of it, but it's something to be cognizant of because it is out there. And I think that those quiet quitters are people that need to feel valued. Those quiet quitters are people that need to be engaged because if you have quiet quitters, they're still working and they're still collecting their money, but they're also bringing down the other team members at the site that maybe aren't in that phase yet. They are still highly engaged employees, and that can affect your work product at the site. It could affect your customer service and your resident relations, and overall it's going to affect your bottom line.
We've got about 6 minutes left in the segment. Let's talk a little bit about the actual job descriptions and titles. Is that important?
Yeah, I think that it is. One of the things that I look at on the operations side, you know, there's lots of titles. You have a leasing coordinator, you have a service coordinator, you have a, you know, customer service manager, assistant property manager, property manager. There's tons of titles on the operations side at the organizations that I've worked at. But looking at maintenance, you have a tech one, a tech two, and a tech three. So basically, we've assigned numbers to our technicians, and those numbers usually correspond to a level of skill. You know, at some organizations, a tech one might be your highest level technician. I've seen at other organizations, it's your maintenance tech three. But we've just assigned numbers. There's no specialization in job titles. And I think titles are important because it gives you a sense of pride. You know, what do you do? I'm a maintenance tech one. Well, what does that mean? You know, if somebody says I'm a leasing specialist, you know what that is. I mean, especially if you're, you know, in our industry. I had a maintenance technician come to me a about a month ago, and say, you know, he came up with a common conversation, a common topic that I get, you know, talked about all the time is, Chris, I feel like I'm not getting paid enough. And I said, okay. I said, I understand. I, you know where you're coming from. Let me look into it. And what I found was is that he was hired many years ago as a Tech One, and in that position, which was our lowest level within my organization, was at a certain pay rate. And what I found in digging into it a little bit was, over the years, he has been building his skills. He has been doing more and more at the site, and he's been doing work that's more akin to a maintenance tech two, which is a second level of technician. So after some conversations with, you know, my senior leaders, and we had a conversation and said, you know what, he's really doing maintenance tech two work, and we should, you know, compensate him for that. So we did. We actually gave him a job title change, as well as a compensation increase to match his title. And what it led me to think was, I had never thought about that before. So I instantly went back and I started looking at all of my other team members. You know, I under my portfolio, I have about roughly 150 maintenance team professionals that I work directly with. And what I started to do was I started to find a couple of other instances where that existed, where we had hired people at a certain level and a certain pay rate, but they had learned more, they had done more, they become more valuable to the company and to their site. So what we did is we made some adjustments. We made adjustments in titles and pay to compensate them for that.
We've got about 2.5 minutes left in this segment, but let's talk about, are we asking too much of our maintenance professionals?
Yes. I absolutely, you know, feel that way. I think now more than ever, especially coming out of COVID with the COVID backlog, we're also asking our maintenance professionals to be a jack of all trades. They need to know plumbing, HVAC, electrical, appliance repair, painting, carpet cleaning, you know, basic cleaning of the grounds. They need to know how pumps and boilers work. We're asking quite a bit in a labor pool that doesn't exist anymore of people that are cross-trained in trades. You know, now it's a much more specialized, the trades are much more specialized, and we are asking too much of them, and we need to figure out what the balance is between specialization and that generalist that we are looking for in our roles.
We've got about a minute and a half left, so you hear a lot about the Amazon effect. What is that, and how does it affect maintenance personnel?
Yeah, the Amazon effect. So, you know, I call it the Amazon effect. I've heard it a little bit, you know, especially with the growth of Amazon and specifically during the last 2 years. Amazon is offering higher than minimum wage. And it's not just Amazon. It's McDonald's. It's Starbucks. These companies are offering higher than minimum wage jobs. And many would consider these less taxing than what we have. So the idea is, well, why do I need to be on call, or why do I need to get dirty and, you know, be physical in my work when I can go work at McDonald's for this, you know, a similar amount of money and much more set hours, or working at Amazon in an Amazon warehouse, or being an Amazon delivery driver where it's not as taxing, but I'm getting paid just as much money. Many states, cities and states, their minimum wages are far exceeding the national. You know, national is $7.25. Most states are on average at about $11. I work in markets where, you know, the city minimum wage in New York City is $15. So it gets harder and harder to hire people out of, you know, out of high school, out of college, that are looking for, you know, a Tech One or a lowest level position to kind of get into the industry, because for the same amount of money some of these lower level maintenance professional jobs where they can actually learn, build, and grow, they can go to an organization like Amazon, Starbucks, McDonald's, and make something very similar in compensation package.
All right, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these short messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Control Wynette provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control Wynette only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we are discussing the topic of multifamily maintenance professionals' common misconceptions. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a terrific educator and national speaker, Chris Caramonica, Director of Facilities with Wynn Residentials. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Elysian, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Chris, we've talked about kind of what the misconceptions are, some of the things that you've done and seen as far as pay and job descriptions and titles. Let's talk about visibility and communication and understanding the role of the maintenance technicians.
Yeah, so looking at how a maintenance professional's role differs from somebody who is in operations and works in the office, I think it comes down to two, maybe three really simple things. It's one is visibility. Your office staff, your operations staff is in an office every day. They're sitting at a desk. They're, behind the computer. They're visible to the residents. They're visible to prospects. They're visible to corporate. The next is the metrics. So, if you're an operations associate is doing a great job leasing, it shows in the numbers. If a property manager is doing a great job collecting rents or, managing their budget, it's right there in the numbers. And the last, it is a misconception, but I'm going to say it anyway, and it's not always true, but is that, operations and office people are a little bit more polished. Maintenance professionals, we have to wear a uniform typically. And sometimes that uniform gets dirty, sometimes it gets messy, but usually the office staff is very clean, neat, and polished. They have to be on a daily basis, but a maintenance professional can start the day neat, clean, and polished, and by noon, they are no longer that, but they still have to work the rest of their eight-hour day. Office team members are just more visible to everybody, and their metrics are easier to track. Their successes are a lot more obvious, which I think leads to more promotions and advancements on the operations side than we ever see typically on the maintenance side.
Yeah, and speaking of, and we've got about 8 minutes left in the segment, speaking about promotions and advancement, you had mentioned there are certain levels within your company, 1, 2, and 3, the way that they're numbered, based on, I guess, experience and knowledge and the job duties. But there are somewhat more limitations, I think, on the maintenance side as far as opportunities for advancement within the maintenance category, as opposed to someone who starts out as an assistant leasing agent, becomes a leasing professional, then they become assistant manager, then they go to a property manager, and then a regional manager. I mean, there's a track there that may not exist in maintenance. Is that true?
Yeah, I think that is. I think it's true to some degree. Most maintenance professionals don't necessarily have that ability to look at the next thing. Personally, you know, when I started in this industry, I had a real desire to learn and grow and move. When I started as a maintenance supervisor of a 100-unit mid-rise building, you know, I was working very hard, but when opportunities came up to relocate, I took them. And I think that's one of the areas that, you know, sometimes our maintenance professionals have an issue with is being able to relocate. They get so used to the city and town they're living in. I moved 8 times in my first 8 years in this industry. Wow. And I wasn't job hopping. I was being given opportunities to grow and advance, and I did not, and I took my organization up on them. I took my company up on them.
Yeah, certainly that flexibility is important, but you had mentioned that maintenance personnel are not necessarily visible. It
yeah.
seemed to me like they could be one of the most visible people on site. They're interacting with residents and going into
yeah.
their units. What's the story there?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I want to say yes and no. That I mean, they are the most visible to the people at the site, but they're not always the most visible to the key decision makers because they're out in the field. So they're not necessarily always that visible to their regional or senior leadership within their organizations. So they don't get to see them. Plus, their successes are instant, but there are long-term effects that are not trackable and obvious. So going back to looking at metrics, is that if a maintenance technician repairs an appliance, great. Instant work is done, but nobody's going to ever be able to know how long that repair lasts. Whereas with a leasing professional, you know, it's really simple. You know, you have a unit on notice, and you can get that apartment leased. It's easily trackable in the software systems that we all use, but there's no real tracking for the successes of a maintenance professional's work over the life of the asset that's easily digestible to a key decision maker. You know, one of the other things that I learned this very early on. About sixth grade, I had a great science teacher who always used to say, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. It just means you can't see it. Now, let me translate that into, our industry. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean that they're not working. It just means that you can't see them. They are visible, but they also are the hidden heroes that are really doing a majority of the work at our sites. When it comes to maintaining the day-to-day operations, maintaining the long-term longevity of the assets and the like.
Well, we've got about 4 minutes left. I'll tell us a little bit about when something's not visible. What do you have?
Well, on the other side, what is visible? It's always obvious when something isn't being done. So recently completed some site walks. And the first thing the regional manager I was with was point out all of the landscaping issues at the site. Pretty common. Curb appeal, right? It's a cornerstone of our industry. Always pointing out, items of cleanliness that were missed. Oh, when was the last time the trash was picked up? Or, I see some dust bunnies behind that door. Also, other things that are visible is a large work order count without ever looking to really what was done. Also, the speed of addressing make-ready units. Everybody can very easily see how long it takes, but nobody's seeing what kind of work it's being put into turning those units. And then the last thing that is pretty visible is a maintenance team member taking breaks. And this goes back to the quote that I just shared, just because you can't see them. Recently, I had a property manager that was complaining about their maintenance team taking, regular 15-minute breaks or 10-minute breaks over the course of the day. So I dug into a little bit, and it was 100-degree weather, and they were working most of their work day was outside. So they were actually taking hydration breaks. They were, cooling down. They were making sure that they stay hydrated so they can continue to work. But that was all that property manager saw of those three team members for that day, was she didn't see any of the other work that they were doing. All they saw was them being on breaks. And that's what I talk about when I'm talking about what is visible. Sometimes we need to look and see what's not visible, because just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not getting done. Just means we can't see it.
That's a great point. One of the things that you mentioned about the metrics of when someone, you mentioned an HVAC unit, it's hard to see the long-term effects of the repair. When you were saying that, I was thinking, well, gosh, I'm sure there's a lot of repairs that are done on site that nobody gives a second thought to, but had they not mm-hmm. been done and done correctly, what would the ultimate cost have been to the owner
right.
if all of a sudden there was a massive failure of a boiler or something because it wasn't being maintained properly? So it is something that I think is it's hard to measure, but there could be significant ramifications if it's not done correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, again, that's going back to looking at what's visible on the site. If you have a team of top performers that are completing all of, their preventative maintenance at the site, nothing is ever breaking. They're just doing routine work orders. They're doing the routine maintenance of the building, but they're taking care of all their, preventative maintenance. I have never once had anybody say to me in my career, "Wow, we don't have things breaking down. Congratulations." here's more money, or here's a bonus, because nothing ever breaks here. It's usually the opposite. It's, why are things breaking? Why didn't you get to that? Why didn't you complete the preventative maintenance? Why do we have all these AC units breaking down? It's hard to see the long-term effects of repair, but it's very easy to see when something isn't working.
That's great. Well, listen, we're going to have to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of multifamily maintenance professionals, common misconceptions. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, an outstanding industry educator and national speaker, Chris Caramonica, Director of Facilities with Wynn Residential. So, Chris, we've talked a lot in the first three segments about some of the misconceptions, what are the misconceptions, how we got there, and some things that are evident and are happening within the industry that continue to have those misconceptions. But let's talk in this segment a little bit about what can we do about it? What can we do to change those misconceptions and to make it better?
Yeah, I think some of them we've already, you know, talked about, Paul, but let's talk about them a little bit more in depth. So I think reviewing the pay rates and job titles for your current team members goes a long way. I've seen some great successes on it, with just within my sphere of influence. And if, you know, a handful of people that are listening to today go back and do that, that's where the change starts, right? It's got to change, you know, by like-minded people, by like-minded industry professionals, and it's got to start slowly. And I think that would go a long way. I think also looking for opportunities to make sure that your team members feel valued. And it could be a monetary value or it could be a non-monetary value. So monetary values would be, you know, spot bonuses or additional, you know, paid time off, figuring out ways to partner with other, you know, some non-monetary ways of, you know, making people feel valued is see if you can get them some extra help from another site. You know, if you're in a market where you have people that are close by, you know, do some job sharing, do some, you know, commute, do some events with your team members, some appreciation days. Those that know me know that I like to eat, but I don't like to eat pizza every time I come to a site. So something as simple as, hey, what does everybody want for lunch? And not ordering pizza actually goes quite a long way. Every time I say, guys, I'm buying lunch today and I promise it won't be pizza, I actually get applause. Every single time I go to a site. Because, you know, pizza's great. Who doesn't like pizza? I'm Italian. But it becomes one of those things that it's the cheap go-to. And for to really appreciate team, you know, go the extra step, go the extra mile. We also talked about engagement. You know, you got to get to know your maintenance team members. And this is for everybody in the industry, from CEOs all the way down to, you know, the property managers and leasing specialists that are hopefully listening in. Get to know them, engage them, learn what drives them. You know, like I said earlier, every time I go to a site, I really spend some time. And again, I have 150 associates. I'm not going to say team members that I work with, that I know the intricate life details of every single one of them. But what I do is I try to get to know them. I try to see what their hot buttons are. I try to see what drives them. I see where do they want to learn and where do they want to grow. And without having those conversations, you're never going to know and you're never going to be able to retain your best people because they're going to feel undervalued and not engaged.
You know, when you were talking about the pizza, you know, that's such a great thing, but it's, you know, besides being inexpensive to order pizza, it's also easy. You just, mm-hmm. all you do call for delivery. When you go the extra step, whether it's buying lunch or anything else, it makes a person on your staff and on your team feel more appreciated. Don't you agree?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I will often, you know, hand a menu to the team and say, okay, decide what you want. Hmm. And they said, well, this one's really expensive. And I said, I don't care.
Yeah.
If you want the $25 steak sandwich, then I'm going to buy you the $25 steak sandwich. You know, and looking at what we're spending on, you know, whether it's quarterly or annually, you know, events for our team members, you know, now is a lot of sites, we're coming into budget season. Maybe budget a little bit more for those maintenance appreciation days, you know, to do something fun. We do a lot of engagement events in my region. We've done baseball games. We've done we've gone on boat rides. I even heard one crew that actually went and did axe throwing, which is something I'm going to plan for my crew. The other thing is I think a great engagement event, especially for maintenance professionals in our industry, is a rage room where they gear you up and you get a baseball bat and you can break all the stuff that residents throw out all the time.
Oh my gosh.
So that's one of those things that, like, I'm always thinking about something new and unique to spend some time with my team members, get to know them, and let them have some fun outside of, you know, their day to day.
And this is kind of off topic, but those examples that you mentioned, the axe throwing, the rage room, and so forth, you know, I see more and more people posting on LinkedIn different things that they're doing. Most of the time, with either their entire staff or their leasing staff or so forth, you don't see a lot of things dedicated specifically to maintenance personnel. I think if someone was to do those things you're talking about and was posting photos of it and so forth, it would not only be great for the individuals who participated, but it would be a great recruiting tool for new maintenance personnel.
Absolutely. You know, using social media outlets, you know, I'm on several Facebook groups for our industry, some good, some bad. And, you know, it's all people complaining about their jobs. You know, I think that as an industry, we need to flood the good things that we're doing, and not just the engagement events, but the beautiful landscaping that your on-site team put in at the beginning of the spring. You know, the level of detail that was put into a turn clean, you know, spotlighting the accomplishments of our maintenance team members and their successes instead of pointing out their failures goes a long way. It goes a long way to bring people in, to show that we are a fun, exciting, interesting industry to be working in. I often hear that not everybody got into, you know, came out of high school or college thinking they were going to go directly into the multifamily industry. So a lot of us have a story about that. And I think that we can show what it's like to be here, because it's not there now. It's not obvious. It's not on communities' Facebook groups. We're starting to see it. You're right, Paul. We're starting to see a little bit more on LinkedIn. But again, that's just one social media outlet. You have Instagram and TikTok, and there's some, you know, great social media things out there that from people that are promoting our industry, but we're not doing enough of it ourselves, and we have the people to do it. We have great people that work for us.
We have about 5.5 minutes left. Can you get the residents involved at all in helping to break these misconceptions?
Absolutely. So nothing made me happier when I was an on-site maintenance team member than getting a very simple thank you card. Thank you for all your hard work. You know, thank you for, you know, fixing my toilet at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, I'm sorry that I had to get you out of bed. But also getting the residents to use those social media channels. Oh, the maintenance team at my, you know, ABC community is amazing. You know, they look how wonderful my apartment is that I just moved into. Look what a great job. You know, these little things are out there right now. Social media is out there. People are looking at it, and we need to figure out how we can utilize. We have this enormous base of residents across this country that could be singing our praises instead of highlighting our failures.
And another thing that comes to mind is, what about the investment of time and money into providing some type of leadership training or skills training and so forth? Will that go a long way towards helping with the misconceptions?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the misconceptions we talked about in the first segment was that maintenance professionals either don't know how to use or they're adverse to using new technologies. I think that is old. We are in a different generation now where everybody has a smartphone, everybody has a tablet, and they know how to use it. But nobody's ever showed them how to use it for their job. They've never shown them how to use it for anything more than, you know, social media or making phone calls. And going back to what we were just talking about, you know, we have all of these team members with you know, smartphones. Let them sing their own praises. Let them sing their own song. But I think that by providing a career ladder and some leadership training, we can elevate our existing maintenance team members, and some of them may never want to move up a career ladder. But we're doing this, we're giving them skills, and we're empowering them, or we're engaging them to be better team members at their site, to provide better customer service to their residents.
We've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to transition in about a minute or so. So I'm going to give you about a minute to just tell what you think about how can we get maintenance people help from the outside.
How can we get them help? So, yeah, hiring specialists. You know, I think that oftentimes we think of our maintenance team members as being able to do everything. And, you know, there are a number of professionals that I've worked with in my career that can. They can literally do everything. But as we've seen the labor force shift and change to much more specialized roles, sometimes they need help. Sometimes they're afraid to ask for help. Often, I just had a conversation with a maintenance supervisor who said, "Chris, I have, you know, I have to paint 5 vacant units, and you know, by the end of this week." And I said, "Well, you can't. You're not. It's not possible." And I said, "Well, what if I get, you know, our three? You know, what if I get a vendor to come in and do 3 of them? And then that way, by Friday, you'll have all 5 done. You do 2 that you're already working on, and I'll have somebody come in." And he was over the moon because nobody had ever listened to him and asked. You know, typically people would just be like, "Oh, okay, well, you have to get all 5 done by Friday, okay?" And you're approved for overtime.
Yeah.
You're approved for not spending time with your family to paint units so they're all deliverable by the end of day Friday. And, you know, again, it's that listening, it's that engagement and knowing sites and what they're capable of and what they're not capable of. And that is not just for painting, but it could be anything from plumbing to an electrical to an appliance repair. Also, you know, so hire specialists, vend out work, you know, those are 2 big things. But I also think we need to change the rules for our residents. And I think that there's no better time to do that. Especially coming out of COVID, where we already had some pre-existing restrictions, but we need to don't overpromise. We need to look at our service guarantees and on-call practices, and we also need to hold residents accountable because we can go back and fix the same thing 10 times. But if we are not holding the resident accountable, it's going to be an 11th, 12th, 13th time. And sooner or later, maintenance team members are going to say, "Why am I fixing this thing over and over and over again if we're not holding the residents accountable to make sure that they don't break it or they're not careless with their apartment that they're renting?"
We are just about out of time, so I want to just ask you to just tell our listeners, if they want to reach out to you, they have questions, how can they reach you?
Sure. I am very active on LinkedIn. I'm also active on Facebook. You can find me there. I work as a director of facilities for Wynn Residential. It's been fantastic talking with you today, Paul. Thank you for inviting me. I hope everybody enjoyed. And feel free to, you know, reach out if you have any other questions or comments on today's show.
All right, Chris, thank you so much. We could talk about this for a lot longer, yeah. And I definitely want to have you back on again to talk about other things affecting the industry. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.